All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 288 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. The game starts here. And man, this week you got lots of options. NHL, of course, you have March Madness down to the Sweet 16. NBA, and heck, you like F1, maybe. Maybe you think Max could lose two in a row. Check it out at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger. He is Frank Saravalli. And Frank, we got lots of start. Hey, let's talk about milestones. I'm always a big fan of them. We now have two new additions to the 50-goal club, as both Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman lock it in. And I don't know what the odds would have been at Betano at the start of the season for either one of those guys scoring 50, but I'm guessing it would have been good if you picked it.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was on the board. I mean... Zach Hyman's previous career high was 36 last year. He felt like he blasted that by January. And Sam Reinhart, I mean, another really consistent goal scorer, pencil him in for 30 and 30 every year, but not sure anyone really saw 50 plus coming.
No, and it's I'll say it right now. I think those two guys would be the leading front runners to be Canadians' right wingers at the upcoming Four Nations Cup next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have a hard time envisioning a Team Canada without either one of those two guys.
No, solid players in what they do, and you know, I will say it's, you know, there's a lot of people like, oh, Hyman just plays with McDavid, and I'm always curious why people try to want to put down a player for reaching a really lofty milestone, and you don't just score 50 by playing with McDavid, because I can give you the list of players who have played with McDavid. Some of them could score 20, for God's sakes. So
yeah, what's with that? Why do people try and knock players and seasons down a peg?
Yeah, I don't get it.
So the first thing that I heard with Zach Hyman sort of emanating out of Toronto was, oh, well, he just plays with Connor McDavid. And then the next thing was, oh, but he's shooting 20%. And it's a preposterous, absolutely preposterous comparison. But what Zach Hyman is doing this year is like Shaq and his high shooting percentages with the Lakers. The reason why his percentage was so high, because he was dunking the ball every possession, it felt like.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Zach Hyman is doing from that close in when it comes to his scoring around the net. I mean, it's, if you want to have a field day, just pull up NHL Edge and some of the statistics there with Zach Hyman and the goal scoring that he's done to this point in the season. I mean, it's actually comical when you look at the shot chart. Right, so I'll just read this stat for you. From high danger, which is the closest area around the net. Yeah. Think like crease and not even halfway to the circles. Okay. He's got 41 goals of his 50 are from that area. The league average is 5. 41 goals, and out of 500 and some forwards, the league average is 5.
Yeah.
He's 99th percentile in shots on goal from that area, goals. The funny thing about his shooting percentage is he's only 81st percentile in shooting percentage from that area, meaning players get to that area and get shots and score 19% better. Some of them.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do than him.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He scored in a lot of different ways. He's got 17 wrist shot goals, 10 backhand goals. He's tipped in pucks 8 times, deflections 4 times, which is, you know, a little bit different than a tip in. He's got 4 snapshots. He does actually have 1 slap shot goal, a wraparound, and then he batted one in out of midair. Like, he scores different ways. And the thing is, I had a conversation with him. And when he came to Edmonton, if you look, it's been a progression. He went from 21 to 27 to 36. And now, you know, whatever he's going to be, 50 plus. And it's really, I think, a good example for any player out there. Zach Hyman says, I know
how many shots on goal does he have total?
How many shots on goal does he have total this year? 249.
Do you know that only 38 of them are above 70 miles an hour?
Oh,
he's below 50th percentile in almost every other shooting category. Distance, speed, you know, even his skating speed, it's good, but it's not otherworldly.
Yeah.
So he's somewhere between 70th and 77th percentile in speeds and speed bursts. Like, Zach Hyman is the closest to the NHL every man that we could get.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, when I talk to him, he says, hey, I know what I'm good at. So he worked really hard the last few summers on getting better around the net. I think a lot of people don't understand, like, you got to have quick hands. You got to read the play. You got to be able to make good plays in tight around goalies. You know, Deacon battle out defensemen, good position. It's not just standing there because of 97. And the funny thing is, if people are like, out of Toronto, well, Zach Hyman has a 20.1% shooting percentage. Austin Matthews has 19.6, you donkeys. Like, guess what? Yeah,
but
what?
If it were that easy just standing there, Zach Cassian would have done it and would still be doing it.
And Pat Maroon and Jesse Puljujärvi and Kyler Yamamoto. Heck, who's the other winger on that line predominantly? Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. How many goals does he have? Like, I never understand the need to disparage a guy. Zach Hyman has figured out, like Ryan Smith told me many years ago, there's bags of money in front of the net if you want to go get them. And it's hard to go to the front of the net and then be good at it, right? Like, you got to go there. You have to have good hands. You have to have good instincts. You got to read the play. There's lots of elements. And to me, there's lots of things you could look at and kids, hey, everybody, you want to be McDavid, but you're not going to be McDavid. But guess what? You would have a better chance to be Zach Hyman if you want to have an absolutely relentless work ethic, right? That's what, like, he works incredibly hard. He's really strong in the puck. He works at the things. He's like, I'm not a transporter of the puck, right? I'm not out there. I'm not feathering passes. That's not what I work on. He works on his skating to get better. He works on getting stronger. And then he works on being very good in tight. And if you look at Sam Reinhart, now he's a little bit different of a 50-goal scorer because there's not just one way to score goals, right? There's lots of different ways to do it. And it's funny, from Matthews, who's an absolute sniper, to Reinhart, who's a little bit of a mixture, and then you got Hyman, who's a guy who's right around the crease. And guess what? They're all 3 50-goal scorers, all from different areas, right? Like, Matthews scores the most from farther out. Right. Not that much farther even. And then Reinhart's a little bit in between. And then Hyman, of course, is the majority, as you said, Frank, 41, right from the wheelhouse. And guess what? Go there and go there consistently and you'll have a better chance of being rewarded, but no guarantees, as you've outlined with a lot of the other guys who get lots of shots from there, but aren't getting as many goals.
But that's why I was saying he's the closest to the NHL every man as there is. And it wasn't, again, it's not a knock. It's actually praise in that there's no one, like the skill with your hands and vision and knowing when to get there is key, but there's no incredible size advantage. There's no incredible skating or speed advantage that he has over others. It's work and it's knowing thyself, know yourself, know your game. And that is, I think it's a lesson that's incredibly powerful, not just for Zach Hyman and other players that are coming through the ranks, but also any kid that's listening, if there are any, to say like, Zach Hyman had mentioned this past week, especially in the stop through Toronto, hey, I wasn't always the best kid on my minor hockey team.
No,
probably was cut at varying points. Definitely wasn't the biggest, didn't have the most, touted stock in terms of being a prospect. Sometimes hard work above all can get you places.
No, 100%. Yeah. So no, good for Hyman. I think it's, good for Reinhardt. What a season he's having in Florida. What a season the Panthers are having, and they're in a dogfight. And, that's what's kind of great here. The playoff race, there's a little bit of a race, I guess, for the wild card and third place in the Metro still. But the big races are really at the top of the divisions. Florida and Boston tied with 97 points. Florida has a game in hand. Rangers, Carolina separated by 1 point. Rangers have a game in hand, and they're ahead. Then you look at the Central, Colorado and Dallas battling back and forth. Winnipeg's three-game losing streak, and suddenly they're 4 points back. Right, the only race really is in Vancouver. I think with Edmonton losing both their games on the weekend, they're 10 back. They got 13 games to 11. Like, I would say that race for first place is done for sure. So there are races still. Like Edmonton's not 100%. They're fairly comfortable in second place. But, home ice advantage, man, these final few weeks of the season, Frank, is going to be some great races for home ice.
There's great races for just about everything. Home ice, first seed in the conference, President's Trophy. I mean, there's really not a race.
No.
Yet that's decided. There's not even a matchup really that's locked in, I think, because it could just as easily be Rangers and Flyers as it could Hurricanes and Flyers.
Yep.
I think the only position
Toronto
that really seems to be firmly locked in is Toronto in third in the Atlantic.
Although Tampa's suddenly 4 points behind them. So even that
one. Yeah, but the Leafs have a game in hand. I mean, yep. I'd say that's the closest one to being locked in.
Yeah, probably.
The next closest one would probably be the Jets in third in the Central.
Yeah, well, Edmonton's three up on LA, and they got one game in hand, so that's as close as Toronto, pretty much. But the other one that very quietly, the Nashville Predators. It's a big, the odds aren't great, but suddenly they're five back of Winnipeg. They have been they're the hottest team in the NHL now for last month, and they're closing the gap. Like that's. Although like if you're Winnipeg and you're third, you're playing Dallas or Colorado. Yes. And if you're fourth,
I think it's the worst spot you could be in. I think that's the most dreadful.
Yes.
Position entering the playoffs is trying to avoid third in the Central.
Well, I'll say Toronto's not in an easier spot either. Cause you got Florida and Boston, right? Like you beat one, then you got to probably face the other one.
Yeah. And look, I like Winnipeg. I don't know that I'd pick Winnipeg over either of those two teams. And especially not after the way Colorado is playing. Did you see that game on Sunday?
Well, they sleptwalked through 40 minutes and then decided to wake up. Yeah.
Well, by the way, the Pens were pretty good for a while. And that would be probably infuriating if you're a Penguins fan, only to see the end result and be like, yeah, okay, that's more in line with what I thought. But that Avs team, they just have the ability to grind you down and take over. They lead the league in comeback wins. I mean, down 4-0 and winning 5-4 is bananas.
Yeah.
And the MacKinnon point streak continues. 34 points, 34 games, a point in every game at home so far this season. Now second all-time, longest streak. His individual point streak, this is his second 18-gamer of the season, which is bananas. Has It's too early. Not he hasn't locked up the scoring race, but is there a chance that he's locked up the heart?
Who, McKinnon?
Yeah.
I don't think so. And here's why. It's a good question, Frank. So Nikita Kucherov, first of all, is ahead of him in points. Kucherov is like, you know, 43 points ahead of his next teammate in Braden Point, who's a pretty good player. And I know a lot of people are like, yeah, but look at Kucherov's 5-on-5 goals against. And I'm like, okay. So I dug into it. McKinnon is 54 goals against. Kucherov is 67 and McDavid's 51. Right. But if you actually look at 5-on-5 shots against, McKinnon's 574, Kucherov's 583. Is it really? That's nine different shots, right? Scoring chances against 515 for McKinnon, 522 for Kucherov. Is he really that bad defensively, or is he not getting saves? Because his on-ice save percentage is 885. McKinnon's is 906, right? If you look at even high danger chances, there's a few more, 33 to 27. Right, high danger goals against. Like the goal, if you just look at goals for, yes, but then you've got to dig a little bit deeper. And so, no, I don't think it's a lock for McKinnon at all. I think it's those two. McDavid's going to be hard pressed, I think, to catch either one of them. But McKinnon and Kucherov are closer than you think when you go by the wording of the rule, right? And most valuable to your team when you're 46 points ahead and. You know, on his team, well, the other guy, yeah, he's only a plus five at 5-on-5. The other guys on their team are minus 15, minus 18. So it is showing you that they're still better. And he's not giving up many more shots than McKinnon when they're on the ice. The difference is the shots are going in. Right? Yeah, and that's not really on the, that's not like Kucherov. And anybody's tracked it will tell you that, you know, forwards have, you know, quite a less impact on goals against 5-on-5.
Rantanen's going to cruise past 100 points. He actually plays about 20 seconds more a night than McKinnon.
Yes.
Now, this is just purely, I'm pulling this question out of my ass, so forgive me. But I'm just looking at the two and their numbers side by side, McKinnon and Kucherov. Does the fact that McKinnon plays more than a minute per night more than Kucherov, does that matter at all? It sounds funny to say, but over an 82 game season, 1 minute more a night is 82 minutes. That's four mm-hmm. additional full games that McKinnon is spending on the ice than Kucherov.
I'd have to look at it. So I'm looking at their minutes at 5-on-5, and McKinnon's at 1198. So you know, now Kucherov's played one fewer game, right? So that'll factor in a little bit, and he's about 50 or 60 minutes right now. Less 5-on-5. He gets a little bit more power play time per game. So, you know, it's not a it's
60 minutes that becomes by the end of the season, 10 more games. That's going to be 72 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you play 20 minutes a night, that's three and a half full games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe we're splitting hairs at that point. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying I'd never thought of it before. I don't mean with these two, but I mean in general.
I voted lots, Frank. That consideration more to the defenseman, I find. Sometimes you're a D-man who's playing 27 minutes to a guy who's playing 24, right? But you know, this way, I think the race is a lot closer than people think. Like there's fans in Colorado. Should be close.
Like Kucherov has been outstanding. I'm not discounting what he's done. I just watch the magic that it feels like McKinnon has night in and night out. 9 game winning goals. Kucherov has 6. Beating him in even strength points, even strength goals. I don't know. He has 73 more shots on goal.
Oh yeah. No, it's close. Like I could see McKinnon winning. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins. I don't think it's now. Who knows?
To answer my question, you're saying it's not locked up.
I don't think it's a lock. No, I do think McKinnon, because of his style of play, he's more noticeable, right? When you watch the games, you know, his speed, how he attacks, you know, it stands out. There's no question. Right. So, you know, you look at that, is it a knock at him that he's only 46% in the faceoff circle, right? Like, you know, so there are, we can always nitpick at things if we want on the players, but I think
Kucherov's a winger. So what, like, if you're going to bring the faceoff part into it and comparing the two, like, I don't know. Is it really?
You're just looking at responsibilities of the player, right?
Right.
Kucherov's actually 50%, funny enough. He just doesn't take many faceoffs. But when I look at McKinnon, I do think some people like, well, and this isn't me, and I would never, I think it's disrespectful to vote based on, well, this guy hasn't won.
I agree. That drives me crazy.
Yes.
This narrative that you go into a season, and I feel like it happens more with the Norris than other trophies. It's like, oh, well, this guy is due.
He's due? Garbage.
Get out of here.
You earn it. If they have the best year, then they should win.
It's not a narrative-based award.
Yeah. Six. If he's the best defenseman every year, he should win. There shouldn't be, it's not a participation ribbon. It's not, guess what? If you're not worthy of it, then you don't get it. It's that simple. And to me, I what happened last year is irrelevant. What happened 2 years ago is irrelevant for when you're voting. At least 100%. It is for me. I don't take in consideration anything in the past.
I couldn't agree with you more. And as head of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, who helps determine the voting list, it drives me crazy to hear people talk like that publicly.
No,
that's a dereliction of duty as a voter, if that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, like I take it very serious. I look at every possible, and then I'll say it's very, when you have to rank, like this year, if McKinnon's one on my list or Kucherov's one on my list, it's not like it's one and then there's been other years where it's a massive gap. Like when McDavid had 100 points in 56 games, that was pretty easy. But this year, you can flip-flop back and forth, and you can make an argument. You can make an argument. I know there's people out there at Rangers saying, what about Artemi Panarin, right? And people in Boston.
Oh, I think Panarin's a great argument.
Right? There's other guys.
If you're actually going on full wording of the rule of the trophy in most valuable to his team, if you are a literal, there's two different camps of voters. Are you a literal voter, or are you... do you think they're just the most valuable player in the league, meaning the best player?
Yeah.
There's two different ways to think about it. I think if you are a literal voter, I think you're probably going Kucherov 1, Panarin 2, because what you would make in terms of an argument is, hey, I know he's 26 points back, but Rantanen has had a hell of a season in Colorado, and maybe he carries a bulk, a share of the weight in terms of what the Avs do and accomplish. I'm playing devil's advocate just to voice the other side potentially. And then you might be able to make a Pasternak argument. You might be able to make a team that struggled to score for a long stretch of time, a Connor Hellebuck argument. There's lots of different ways to look at it. I tend to try and not look at it literally. I tend to try and blend the two thoughts together.
Yeah. And that's why I have so many different voters, and people are going to, not everybody has to see it exactly the same.
If they did, why would we vote?
Yeah. It's kind of boring, but to me, I don't, the one thing that really annoys me is when I hear people, well, he earned it. He's due. What? You're not due. It's supposed to be a really hard award to win. This is not a participation ribbon where it's like, well, he's been in the league a long time, so he deserves one. Give me a break. I don't see that anywhere in the wording that's like most valuable to your team. And if they have yet to win, they really should get extra consideration. It's not in there.
No, that's insane.
Yeah. So shouldn't be, but it's a hell of a race. And, McKinnon and Kucherov, Panarin's had very quietly, I think, because the other guy's seasons are so good, Panarin probably gets overlooked, but he's doing stuff that he's never done before. Like he's chasing 50 here. Never been a huge goal scorer,
per se.
And he's 30 points ahead of his next teammate in points. And, he's probably going to finish with 110 at least. So yeah, Panarin's had an unreal season as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's lots of good candidates this year. It's exciting. Sometimes it's boring if it's just one clear cut winner. Right. I think the heart might be, if you look like 1 through 5, it'll be interesting to see how people rank them and the different rankings. Like you could make an argument, as you outlined, Frank, somebody might have Panarin. And if you had Panarin number 2, I could see how you can make an argument to defend your opinion. And that's what it's all about. It's like, how can you defend it? To what point? And just because someone disagrees with you because they're a super fan, well, great, but they're a super fan and they have a bias, right?
Well, and someone's going to be making the Austin Matthews argument. However many goals he scores, someone's going to be making that case.
Well, that's,
and someone is rightfully, I think, going to make the Connor Hellebuck case. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he should. I think he really deserves consideration to be in the top 5.
yeah, he might get some votes, and he might get some fifth place votes, right? I think
I might have
be hard pressed. Be hard pressed. Some might have him higher, right? It's it'll be fun.
He's squarely in the running for me for somewhere between third and fifth.
Yeah,
could be sixth, but he's in that mix.
And the funny thing is, you know, though, how you rank those other guys could impact it. Like if the first place votes are split in any form, then the next votes become highly, highly important. And that's why I try not to even just, you know, now it's different for Selkies and Lady Bing sometimes. Like, I'll be honest, the Lady Bing's the hardest trophy to vote for. It's, you know, it's very difficult. I think for years, defensemen got grossly overlooked. It's a much harder position to play to be sportsmanlike. Right. And not take penalties and all those sorts of things. But that's
we're cut from the same cloth on that.
Yeah. It's a tough one to vote for.
I've been voting for defensemen for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
They make up the bulk of my top five.
Yeah. So I'll say this. Austin Matthews
with four penalties, a lot of votes all season. It, you know, he's gonna deserve consideration.
Yeah, when you play that many minutes and you find a way. And by the way, you have the puck lots and you're engaged in the game and other guys are taking runs at you. Like you know what? You're doing something right. There's no question about it.
Let me give you a made up award, because I don't think that this falls in the Masterton category, but who would be your comeback player of the year this year?
Oh God. Comeback player. Good question. I don't really know. I might go with you know what? Who am I? I might go with Matt Barzal. If we're just talking guy who's kind of got his career back to where it was from many years ago, he would get some looks for me.
Victor Hedman's a good one.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's had a really bad he's had an unreal year. It's a good one. It's been a while since Barzal. Like, remember Barzal at 85 points, right? And people thought, okay, this guy was going to be unreal. And he hasn't been a point of game player since. And now he's above a point of game. So now some would argue
that'd be a fun debate. I mean, there's lots of candidates. There's always some good goalie candidates, too.
Well, yeah, the goalie position's crazy how it goes up and down, right? But yeah, Victor Hedman, that's a real good one. And then, like, the other one would be the breakout player, right? Who's, because the breakout player, you know, you could have Reinhardt, you could have Hyman.
No. They've been good players, though. You need someone, to me, for breakout candidate, you have to be someone that really got to a different level.
Well, 50 goals from 36, man. And
yeah, that's a jump, but it, like, but Hyman was already widely recognized as one of the best value deals in the league.
Yeah, well, value deal doesn't necessarily mean you viewed him as a, like, nobody in their right mind would think Zach Hyman, who's on pace to score 55, actually maybe more, goals, right? Like, no chance. Like, Austin Matthews scoring 60, no one's kind of, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's not a surprise to me.
Oh, another good comeback is Brock Besser.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a breakout player.
Noah Dobson?
Yeah. He's had a really good season. Gets overlooked a lot in Long Island. And you know what? He does it on a team that doesn't score.
He's been a 50-point player the last couple years. In fact, he's actually having a relative down year in goal scoring.
In goals, yeah.
But I think he's cemented himself as, you know, obviously one of the upper echelon defensemen in the league. Oh, another good comeback player is Matt Duchene. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I mean, being bought out, signing in Dallas for little money relative, 62-point year in 70 games.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
What about Jonathan Drouin, boys? 46 points.
Oh, Drouin's a great comeback player, too. That's unreal. His two goals that he scored on Sunday, including the OT winner. Special year.
He's probably going to get 50 points. Right? I think he's got, 45 or 6, something like that. So now he's been a 50-point player, but it's been a while since he's a 50-point guy. So, yeah, it's good for him. And, what was it?
How about Seth Jarvis as a breakout guy? He's got 57 points in 72 games. He's kind of gotten to that next level. No?
Yeah, he he's a younger guy. What's his third year in the league, right? So I like Seth Jarvis, really good player.
How about Charlie Coyle?
Well, I would say he's the player who has had to step up into the biggest role and fill the biggest shoes, no question. And he's done very well at it because everybody thought Boston was taking a step back because they lost their top two centers, including people in Boston. Yet Charlie Coyle has filled that hole. Now, he's no Patrice Bergeron overall, right? But still, he has done a remarkable job. I might be the best one.
I don't know. Well, here's another good breakout. Wyatt Johnson.
Yeah, but is that a real breakout? Like, I thought it kind of broke out last year. People were like, man, where'd this
guy come? Yeah, but a rookie can't be a breakout player to me.
Yeah, but if he had two good years, like he's kind of been the same player. Like we saw him last year, no?
Yeah, he's close. But I think it's one thing to come in as a rookie that not many people are expecting a whole ton from you. You just come in and you score 24 goals, 41 points. No. We always hear about the sophomore slump. He's taken on an additional minute and a half per game, now playing 17 per night. His faceoffs jumped as a center from 43% to 50%. He's already beat last year's goal total by 2 with 10 games to play, and he has 13 more points. And he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
He doesn't get nearly enough attention to be closing in on 30 and 30. Which he's probably going to hit this year as a 20-year-old center. I mean, how many people do that?
And what about the fact that and you know who should get credit is the Dallas Stars draft, because he played 7 games his draft year, Frank. Oh. So, now they did trade down from 15, but still they traded down and they took him. He played 7 games for Canada that year.
They traded down to get him because they knew they could. They knew that no one was going to be, they felt like they were safe.
Yeah. Well, people say that in hindsight, but I could see if you trade down 2, you trade down 8 picks. That's a pretty big risk, right?
Is it though? Exactly what you said. He played 7 games. How much of a risk was it?
Well, there's lots of guys who didn't play because of COVID, right? So, but then they took like Logan Stankoven in the second round that year. Like, my God, those 2 picks, Thomas Hardy at 18th. In 2019, like the Dallas Stars head of amateur scouting, whose name escapes me right now, should be getting massive props, because that's a team that's being competitive and they're being able to retool. Not that they've gone anywhere, but they're bringing up young guys now who are becoming big. Like Thomas Hurley's a huge impact player on their team. Wyatt Johnson, Stankoven is just, you know what? He's dominating the American League. Now he comes up. They're going to have room for him for sure. He's on the team. He's going to be there next year. Like,
he's got 11 points in 14 games. Yes. And then they didn't even call up yet his running mate in Maverick Bork.
Oh, I know. So, yeah.
Who's like been Jason outstanding, Robinson, north of a point per game in the AHL.
Well, look at their 2017 class. You took Heisman.
That's the best NHL draft class in history. One team in one single draft. I've gone through every one. It's better than the Red Wings ones. There is no team that has filled out the future of their roster with checking all 3 positional boxes, forward, defense, and goalie
If you go by all 3, yes. However, when you draft 3 Hall of Famers in your first 3 picks, like Edmonton did in 79, that's going to get you some consideration for sure, right? Okay. And then what about when they took Coffey, Curry, and Andy Moog? In 1980, would Coffey, Curry, and Moog be better than Ottinger, Heiskanen, and Robertson?
Yes, probably.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like those.
But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be really close because Ottinger is probably going to be significantly better than Moog. And I don't, you know, neither one of those players is Coffey because there's only one.
Robertson ain't Curry.
No, but Heiskanen's pretty damn good.
Oh, I like Haskin a lot, but you know, he's Paul Coffey's one of the, if, you know, he's not the best offensive defenseman of all time. He's definitely second. So, Yeah, but that, either, hey, the Dallas one in most recent years, no question. To do that, like you think about in 5 years, all the guys they've drafted in Dallas, it's unbelievable in what it does for them. Since 2000, like from 2017 to 2021, Heiskanen, Ottinger, and Robertson. Ty Dellandre is not a bad player. You mentioned Maverick Bork, who isn't up yet, but is killing it. Wyatt Johnson, Logan Stankoven. Like, oh my God. Like if no one else pans out, oh, and Thomas Harley. If no one else pans out, they're still killing it. Like that's how you stay at the top and become a really good organization.
And look, I mean, with all due respect to the Stars amateur scouting, it's to me, it starts and ends with Jim Nill.
Oh, Jim Nill, but he's always been a huge.
But that's why they hired him. He was the highest paid assistant GM in the league in Detroit for a long period of time. And you can directly chart the Detroit Red Wings' struggles since then with their inability to draft. Just look at the downturn in team since Jim Nill left in April 2013.
Yeah.
You can chart it out on a line. I mean, look at his first draft in Dallas. Nichushkin and Dickinson were the two picks to start. 2014 was a little quiet. 2015, Gurianov, but then Rupe Hintz at 49th overall. 2016, not a great class. We talked about 2017 murdering it. And since then, they're laughing.
Nah.
They are laughing at everyone else.
And Joe McDonald is the director of amateur scouting and has been for 11 years in Dallas. So give him a lot of props too.
Yeah. I wasn't knocking him at all, but saying in general, when you have an eye like Jim Nill does, your team's going to go a long way.
Let's bring in Tyler Remchuk for an edition of Buy or Sell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What's going on, gentlemen? Back with another edition of Buy or Sell. And as always, it is delivered by our friends at DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. If you're in Canada, all you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter that promo code NATION25. I got a handful here of buy or sell questions for you. Let's kick it off with that 50 goal score conversation you guys had at the beginning. If you had to buy on one of Reinhardt or Hyman to do it again in their careers, which player do you think would do it or is the more likely to do it, Jason?
Oh God. Man, 50 goals is hard. Like I might sell on both. Honestly, like I think it's so hard to do it again. So I'm probably going to sell on both. And that's not a knock because I could easily see them score 40, but I think people underestimate and try. I've looked it up a lot, man. Scoring 50 goals is damn hard, right? Really hard. And now we're in a stretch down the NHL where 50 goal scorers are coming back. Cause for a long time, it was basically Ovechkin, Drysdale, and you know, Matthews. This is only his second time, right? Funny enough. Now he's going to get 60 both times, which is crazy, but it is difficult. So I'm going to say no, not because I think either is bad. I just think that's how hard it is.
I'm going to go with Reinhardt. He's been more consistently in the neighborhood, if that makes any sense. Not nearly as close as 50. I mean, Hyman last year at 36, but to me, I think Reinhardt being 3 years younger helps. It gives you more runway. I think in speaking to Sam directly, and I did a Frankly Speaking podcast with him earlier this year, he's figured out something playing with Alexander Barkov. Not that Hyman hasn't with McDavid and the Oilers, but both of them, we gave Hyman lots of props for his work around the net, and we should. The truth is that Reinhardt has been equally as good. And if you look at a map of their goal scoring, they're near mirror images of each other. The difference is that Reinhardt has scored a little bit more from distance. He's got like 12 goals that are from outside that inner slot. And Hyman doesn't. Hyman has 41 of his 50 from like literally right in front of the net. If you stretch it out a bit further, Reinhardt's got 8 from outside of that, 4 from the right side of that. Like there's just, he has a different versatility to him that I think Hyman doesn't. Not to say that both of them aren't repeatable, but I would bet on Reinhardt before Hyman.
I would actually bet on Hyman just because of how he plays with McDavid if I had a pick. But
yeah, like if I was thinking about next season, like Hyman is still going to get all those minutes with McDavid. He's still going to get to park himself in front of the net on that power play. It's not like he's going to suddenly stop going to the difficult areas, right? So I think I might pick Hyman, but the argument for Reinhardt makes sense. Next one I got for you guys. We didn't hit on this because it kind of came in between podcasts, but Tom Wilson's 6-game suspension. You buying or selling on the league giving him 6 games for his high stick, Frank?
I'm buying. He's not appealing it to my knowledge, which I think it just kind of lines up. It like when I heard that 6 games, I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. There's not really any way to defend it as a player. Your stick is the one thing that you are 100% in control of. Yes, I know that he doesn't have any stick infraction suspensions. Yes, I know that it's been since 2021 that his last suspension was, but he has a rap sheet and I know he showed some remorse in the initial after, but that doesn't excuse you from what you did. You can run a stop sign and kill someone and you could be remorseful, but you still did it.
Okay.
Well, I actually, and I know this is my nephew who got the stick in the face, but I talked to him about it. He does have, he already had a fake tooth. And so it was his fake tooth that got chipped again. So he's a little,
I saw the Dumb and Dumber. The picture, he looked a little like Lloyd Christmas.
He said the good news was it didn't hurt as far as, because you know, when you chip your tooth, if you've ever chipped your tooth and every time you touch it, it's the worst, but he didn't have that because it was already fake. I actually thought when I saw it, I was like, well, that's probably going to be 2 games. I didn't think it'd get 6, to be honest. And, I did talk to Noah and he said, yeah, Wilson was quite, apologetic about it right away and afterwards. And, he watched the replay. It was like, obviously he did it. There's nothing you could say, but I thought it was a little harsh to be honest. I think it's probably his reputation for sure, but and it's kind of like, what are you doing? I get it. I understand all of it, but I thought, it might be like a 3-gamer, to be honest.
Yeah, I was surprised it went as high as 6.
I was just going to say, like, the NHLPA has appealed these for sport almost. The fact that they're not either kind of gives you an indication that there's not really a clear argument to make that would support knocking it down.
Or they know that the appeal process is the biggest farce in the league, so why waste your time?
But I think they've actually done a few of them just because of that, to document... Yeah. Or future CBA, exactly how the appeal process is broken, that they've actually, that's why I said for sport, knowing that it's not likely to be successful, that they've more or less done it just to break their wagon. And the fact that they're not in this case, it says something to me.
You guys talked earlier about Nathan MacKinnon in search of going 41 for 41 in terms of points on home ice. We also have Connor McDavid looking to hit 100 assists. Are you buying on both of those milestones happening, or are you selling on one of them, Jason?
Well, McDavid's getting 100 assists. That's, I don't know, he needs 9 assists in 13 games. Yeah. Like, that's the easiest wager ever at this point. MacKinnon's streak, man, God, it's amazing what he's doing. It's I'd have to look, like, it's funny. He kind of waited a little bit here lately. And so you're like, well, if he wasn't going to do it now, then maybe he's just going to run the table. It would be fantastic. He would join Gretzky as the only guys to go a full season and getting a point in every home game, which is pretty impressive. So I'm looking at the Avs and just seeing, like, who they have at home left. And they're in a run now. They got Montreal, then they got the Rangers, and they got Nashville. I know they have the Oilers, Minnesota, Dallas. Geez, they actually have a pretty tough home stand. Yeah. All the top teams, man. You know what? Yeah, I'll sell now. I think it might be hard. The Winnipeg Jets are really hard to score against, so maybe it comes down to that game.
Frank?
I'll buy on both.
Simple as that.
Yeah,
I mean, look how hard their schedule is.
MacKinnon has gotten as close as like 37 seconds left in the game before getting a point. Yeah. They know it. He knows it. And maybe there's a game that happens for the best home team in the league over the final 7 where they get shut out. Maybe. But even watching Sunday's game, I watched every second of it. Oddly enough, I wish I had the courage to break out the betting app on Betano and bet the Avs money line while they were down 4-0. I felt like they were very much still in the game when it was 4-0. And that's not revisionist history or patting myself on the back. Like, there was something about the way that they play. They're never really out of it. So I think he's, the McDavid one is a foregone conclusion to me. The MacKinnon one, my only question about it is, will we actually consider it the record? Because he has 41 and Gretzky will have 40. There was only an 80 game season then, and he had a point in all 40 home games. That you can't take the record away from Gretzky because he didn't have one additional home game, right? He scored in every game possible.
How many?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, it's the same thing. It'd be a tie. It's not going to be a new record. It's like, you go the whole season. If you only have 80 games, you only have 80 games. The league is grown. That's, you can't take away a player. Gretzky didn't have a chance to play a 41st home game. So yeah,
but of course, somewhere some clown 25 years from now is going to look at that and say, "Oh, MacKinnon's the record holder." And it's like, no, buddy, they actually played 80 games then.
Yes.
All right, there you go, Jen.
It's like in 93 when they had the 84 game seasons, right? No one says, oh, you scored 100 points in 84 games. You don't get 100 points.
Yeah. All right, that is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
And how about the fact, this will be the first time, it looks like, since 1993, that you'll have 3 players with 130 points in the season, because Kucherov, MacKinnon, and McDavid are all on pace for 130 points right now, which is nuts. You know, the Art, we talk about the Hart, which is really close. What about the Art Ross, man? That is that's a hell of a race. Kucherov with 123, MacKinnon with 122, McDavid with 117, and he has 2 games in hand on both of those guys. So Kucherov and MacKinnon each have 11 games remaining. And McDavid has 13. And that's one that's not voted on. Obviously, MacKinnon owns the tiebreaker right now in goals. And I think the last time there was the tie that was broken was Gretzky's rookie year, when Marcel Dion and him each had 137 points. But Dion won the Art Ross because he had more goals. Mm-hmm. Like, God, that would be it. That's, you know what, when people say, oh, someone's due for it, it's like, hey, guess what? You got to have a tiebreaker, and that's what it is. So right now, MacKinnon has the advantage in that one if there's a tie.
So can I get you to put on your chef hat and white coat for a second? I want you to play Chef Gregor.
All right.
And as we get close to the end of the season here, 10, 11, 12 games left, depending on what team you are.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Oilers, you have 13, which sounds like a positive, but isn't really, because there's only the same number of days remaining for everyone. I want you to cook up the most chaotic matchups, like rooted on pure chaos. Realistically, what are the most chaotic first, like what's your most chaotic first round bracket that you can come up with?
Okay, well, I'm going to have Boston and Toronto for sure. And then I'm going to have the Rangers winning the Eastern Conference. So that means Florida will play Tampa. So now I got two big rivals and they stay within their division. So I like that. The Rangers will then take on the, will take on Ovi and the Capitals. Or sorry, no, they will actually take on the Islanders, because the Islanders are going to catch the Flyers. The Flyers are out. It'll be Ovi and the Hurricanes. Yeah. Hey,
just the Islanders are going to catch the Flyers. They're 6 points back and they've shown no
with the game ability. In hand. I know. Hey, you said create the most chaotic one. So that's the one, because now you have Rangers Islanders rivalry.
I said realistic. I didn't say take mushrooms and do this.
Hey, dude, are you that confident in the Flyers? Like, I don't know. The Islanders, I agree.
Okay. So look at the Flyers week. They beat the Bruins. They beat the Leafs and they took the Canes to OT. Does that look like a team that's falling apart to you?
No,
doesn't to me. But
the Capitals are going to catch them. So either way, it's going to be Washington versus Kuznetsov in Carolina. And then I guess the Rangers, I guess maybe we'll go Rangers and Flyers. That's still a decent rivalry. So, and then in the West, I'm going to have, well, if I'm looking at pure chaos,
it's got to be Golden Knights Oilers, right?
So yeah, they catch LA. Yes, 100%. And then Vancouver is going to take on. Vancouver is going to win the West, so they're going to take on LA. And then you have. I want to see
Colorado against Dallas is max.
Yes, chaos. Winnipeg's got to finish. Winnipeg somehow catches both of them, and then they play Nashville, and Colorado plays Dallas. I know that's one's. Unlikely a bit because the way Colorado's going, but Colorado
one Dallas week ago, round. that was very likely.
It looked very likely. Yes.
Because so. Winnipeg was in the driver's seat in the Central and they had a really tough week. And by the way, if you were betting on a Caps comeback on Sunday against the Caps, oof, that did not look good.
No,
I thought for sure they'd bounce back after a rough one and they just didn't have it.
Yeah. I will say, surprisingly, Colorado, like they got Montreal, they'll beat them. But after that, they play the Rangers, Nashville. They play Edmonton twice. They play Dallas. They play Winnipeg. And they play the Wild, who've actually been pretty competitive here. And I know they got a really low chance, but Colorado might have one of the toughest schedules down the stretch. And maybe that opens the door for Winnipeg to catch.
I don't know, man. They've won nine in a row.
It's unlikely.
The Avs are cooking with gas right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was.
I would bet on the Avs to win the West right now, regardless of what their schedule looks like.
Yeah. I still think Vancouver's going to get it. Vancouver had a little bit of a dip, and I think now they're coming back up. And I really think they want it too. I think Rick Tockett, he'll find different ways.
There's all the incentive in the world to win. Oh,
are you kidding me? There's massive, right? Because if you believe that you can get to the third round and you're Vancouver and there's no reason to believe they can't. Then you're going to have home ice. That is massive. But it would be amazing if the Islanders, let's be honest, if the Islanders can get in and play the Rangers, and then you have Florida, Tampa, Boston, and Toronto. That's unreal matchups for rivalries, man. Like that would be ideal. I know it's very unlikely that the Islanders get in. I understand that. And I probably don't really want them in. They're a boring team for me. Sorry, Islander fans. I know, you know what, very passionate group, but I love it. But your team is meh. To me,
you know what's
Frankie?
Not
no, you know what? Yeah, what is it, man?
Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. That is decidedly not meh.
And guess what? The only thing sweeter than victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. Frank's goal now is to get a weekly prize and to win, so you can have this the Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's as a daily face off for giving the chance to win weekly prizes all
season long. Sign up today at dailyfaceoff.com, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. And get in today. Get your first one. I sucked on last Monday. It's annoying when you can't even get through Monday, I will admit. Like, I'm just it like, sucks. Come on, at least. Yeah, it's brutal.
I'm going with Canucks over Kings to kick off my week.
Ooh. And, yeah, like, it's no joke. There's no freebies. I will say that. Like, they don't give you any freebies in the Wendy's Survivor. Like, it's not like, okay, here's the layup one of the week. There's never any of those.
You could take that Cinnabon pull apart though and just glue it right to my ass. Like, it is just, I if I get one, I would need six orders of them.
Oh, God,
I know that's problematic for me, but that's just reality.
Oh, dude, I'd be all over it. So you're taking Vancouver to win, eh?
Hmm. I mean, it's just straight up win. Vancouver, I mean,
yeah, you
got home ice. They've won three in a row. There's no reason to not. It's not like they need to win by two.
Yeah, I might be going Quinton Byfield for getting a point.
Okay.
Yeah. It's either that one or I got to look into that block shot one always intrigues me. How many shots is Vancouver blocking every game? So I'll look into that. We'll see. Frankie, have yourself a good week. There's lots of games on tap this week. I'm quite excited. The Tuesday nighter obviously is busy nights. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays have become the go-to nights in the NHL. But the playoff race, man, there are some teams still telling you they have a chance, right? St. Louis is still kicking around, thinking that maybe they got a chance. It's obviously very low. The Islanders, pretty low. What about the Detroit Red Wings? Man, that would be an absolute gas job if they don't make it in.
Well, they'll find a way.
So they're going to beat out Washington?
I think so.
What? You're just telling me how you're all up on the Flyers. Did you see who the Capitals have beat?
I see. I didn't say I'm all up on the Flyers. I just said, does that look like a team that's going to wobble? And we have nothing to point to yet to say that they will. We've got tons to point to for the Caps to say that they can. I know they've got a game in hand and they're 1 point up. If I'm just looking at both of those teams again on paper, I'm still picking the Wings.
Well, hey, buddy, what a huge game tomorrow night. That's the game of the week, baby. Washington at home to Detroit.
That might decide it. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It will go a long way. That's a 4-point game.
Oh, it's a huge game. Huge game. And just, you know, I don't care who wins. I just don't want it to be a 3-point game. Let me just say.
The worst.
It's the worst. Everybody have a great week. We will chat with you later.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.